Podcasting 2.0 for November 1st, 2024, episode 199, Feed Bloat. Hello, everybody. It is a brand new month and a brand new board meeting. Podcasting 2.0 is ready to go, where we discuss all things podcasting, what is ahead, what is here now, and sometimes we look over our shoulder. We are indeed the only boardroom that has no agenda to follow or key decision-making authority. I'm Adam Curry, here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the man with the plan. That plan is Phase 8. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one, the only, Mr. Dave Jones.
So I've got so much crap in here in this room now. It's just the reason we couldn't rip in a timely fashion is because I had so much, like, it's just chaos.
You've been living in that room. That's why you've literally, I know, Melissa, you yeah. Don't have to call me Melissa. I know he's living in that room. Am I right?
Sleeping bag under the desk. Yes.
You know, it's really bad when you know that you've been working in your office too much at home when your wife puts the kitty litter box in your office.
To try to stink you out.
Yeah, you're screwed when that happens.
Yeah, they're trying to smoke you out. Yeah, you're like, oh no. I'm coming out.
Oh, brother.
No, I bought this CarPlay Android Auto device, mm-hmm. and that's set up in here. And
now, what exactly is that? Because I have CarPlay in my, or no, Auto Android in my car, and now you have a device for it? How does that work?
Yeah, okay, so this is like, let me grab it. Okay, it's, this is an Amazon special.
Oh,
because it's just a white box that says, portable wireless car stereo. It's like the generic peanut butter container that's white, and it just says peanut butter in black.
Yeah.
So, but it's just 7-inch, like a widescreen 16:9 format screen, touch screen with, and it's got Android Auto and CarPlay.
Oh.
On it. So it's like a head unit.
Mm-hmm. How do you connect it to audio through a Bluetooth or a jack? Oh, really?
Bluetooth. Yes.
That's pretty cool.
It's only $50. It was $49.99.
That's not even $50.
It was not even $50.
That's interesting. And does it come with Velcro to put it on your dashboard?
It does not. It comes with a little stand.
And a suction cup, perhaps?
It's not a sucky stand. It's like a, I don't know. I forgot what. It's some kind of other stand. It's not the sucky one.
How does it stay stable in your car?
Oh wait, I was wrong. It is the sucky stand.
I thought it was a sucky stand. New show title: Sucky Stand.
Okay. This stand sucks.
No, it doesn't. It's just. What are you doing?
I'm putting it back together. I put it all out of the box.
Oh, okay.
So I'm putting it back together. Now, this it says it has wireless CarPlay, Android Auto, screen mirroring. A car stereo with backup camera.
Well, is it also a dashboard cam?
It says no installation fees.
I think that should be on my podcasting 2.0. No installation fees needed.
Yeah, free estimates.
Free estimate. Your insurance will pay for it.
Yeah. So I've got this thing in here. And then there's also this, my Android phone that I bought off, you know, to have a test thing with. I've got commentary, by the way, on PWAs.
Yes. And maybe
we don't talk about that right now.
Well, but maybe I should say that what is happening here is Dave and I have been working on this project for a couple months now, and it's starting to ramp up, and we're so in it that when I was getting ready to start the board meeting, I'm like, I only want to talk about our stuff, honestly.
Yeah, it's kind of the way I'm
my my head's so full. There's some things we can totally discuss without, you know, because it's just not uncloaked yet, and there's a whole bunch of people who need to be informed about it. But we can certainly talk about some things and what we've learned. Here's something I learned on iPhones, which I do not possess. PWAs work on CarPlay.
Yes, they do.
I had no idea that they worked on CarPlay.
So it's I guess we'll talk about it. So the I'm trying to find the link to this thing that I bought, so I could put it in the boardroom. There it is. Okay, I got it now. Yeah. So the car, there's a PWA aspect to this thing we're making, and there it is. There's a PWA component to this thing, and so I'm like, well, you know, you want this media that you're playing to be able to show on the lock screen and on CarPlay and all these things. You know, the title and the image, the album art and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, even though it's not the main thrust of what we're doing, we've got this PWA thing as a fallback component. So there's a thing that enables this called the media session API. And all apps have access to this through native APIs or there's a web API for it. And it's just called media session. So you can check, and if media session exists as an object in the DOM, then you can add your metadata to that, and then it will then globally the OS will see that media session and be able to know what to display for things like a now playing screen.
Hmm.
So from any app or web session, you can just add this metadata to the media session, and then the OS can pick it up. This is an open standard, you know, widely supported. I mean, literally every platform that I know of supports the media session API.
Except Android.
Except Android
Auto.
Except Android Auto.
Bastard, yes. Stupid Google.
Yeah. So the Android apps, you can set it and it works on the lock screen.
Yeah.
But as soon as you push to Android Auto, it just nothing reads it.
Doesn't exist. Blank. Yeah.
Yeah, because so CarPlay has this notion of a now playing screen. So if there's media playing from somewhere, it doesn't matter where it's coming from, what app is coming from.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can it'll just have now playing, sort of like a default home screen that you land on.
Right.
And or a widget.
But you have no controls.
No, you have controls. Yeah, you have controls too. No, it looks beautiful. Huh. It looks just like your phone lock screen, just on your car.
Huh.
But Android Auto has no equivalent of this.
Yeah.
It only understands apps.
Ugh.
And if the app doesn't, if the app is not published through the Google Play Store,
right,
and have all the, and have like the, we call it the, like permissions or.
Yeah. Whatever.
Manifest or whatever for enabling Android Auto, it just doesn't show up.
Hmm.
You can't even launch it. It's like it doesn't exist. You can hear the audio, but you can't see anything else. This is a weird thing to me, because going into this, I thought, okay, CarPlay is going to be the hard one to get working, because this is an open standard. So obviously Android will support it.
Exactly. You thought Apple would be the hardest guys ever, but no, it's actually quite easy.
Yeah. We got Apple for free, and Android's been the pain in the butt. So crazy. I don't know if this, so that's what I discovered. If anybody, I have Googled every permutation of this that I can possibly imagine and come back with zero answers. So, and I even went so far as to put the Android Auto interface on the phone into what they call developer mode,
mm-hmm,
where you can quote unquote enable unknown apps,
extra features that are not undocumented features.
Yeah. Advanced, otherwise known as normal mode.
So, yes.
And I enabled this thing, and it still doesn't work. So I don't know.
Horrible.
If anybody has some workaround, some top secret juice, tell me.
Hmm.
I would love to know about it. By the way, True Fans, speaking of PWAs, True Fans enabled offline playback. I would love to know how they did that, because that sounds super hard. And as a PWA, now that I've had a little bit of dabbling in the PWA universe,
mm-hmm.
I've got mad respect for what True Fans is doing as a PWA. The performance is excellent. It operates top notch as a PWA, and that is hard to do, because especially on the iPhone, because the iPhone's PWA support is spotty to begin with, and it tends to get bogged down.
Yeah.
Have you noticed this?
I can't notice that because I've removed Apple from my life.
No. Yeah. Well, I will notice it for you. It tends to get bogged down so that sometimes like tapping and moving things just doesn't work. And you have to reload. You have to kill the app and reload it. But True Fans seems very immune to this, and so kudos is all I can say.
Now, are they still working on native apps? I mean, I know I that Sam Sethi threatened it, but I don't know if he actually started on it or not.
I haven't heard any update on it.
Mm.
I don't know. Wait, let me check my email, see if he sent an email.
The True Fans update of the week. Mm-hmm. Which includes inline images and headers and subtitles. It's an interesting read, but I do have to sit down and take my time to go through it.
You need a cup of coffee.
Yeah, you do.
I don't see anything in here about the native apps in his latest update. I love these updates, by the way.
Yeah. I wish everyone sent us an update like that.
Straight up. Me too.
Because I need more to do during the day, a lot more.
Yeah, that's the latest in my adventures in PWA land. It'll be fun to talk about things in the open, because I think what we're doing fits in so nicely to everything with podcasting and podcasting 2.0. I think we're just kind of slotting this thing into a lot of open spaces.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it feels like.
What I've been, so part of what I've been doing for this project is I've been experimenting with live, which has been it's been so good to do that again. And especially since you can put a live item into your RSS feed. It's, what a genius move that was. And when I look back and I have to keep reminding myself, we've been doing this for 15 years, doing the podcast, like No Agenda, doing the podcast live. We've got the, I know that we haven't quite ever really finalized the chat part of the live tag, although it's there. There was never really a consensus on, as far as I know. I mean, I think CurioCaster.
No, we got chat tag exists.
But chat tag exists, but no one's really implemented the chat.
Oh,
except for CurioCaster, I think, has a web frame that brings up, maybe it's Kiwi IRC or something like that. Because IRC, for some reason, just seems to be the most rock solid, the most developments done on it for the chat. And it's really amazing. I mean, you look at the Boost bot, you look at the integration of SplitKit and the live WebSocket. So the minute I play something, the title, the metadata gets shuttled through from my playout system into the, IRC is just where all the development has taken place. And by the way, these are GitHub available features like BoostBot. It's not Adam Curry level. So for me, it's like, can I install it on my Start 9 with one click? if not, okay, it's going to be painful. So BoostBot, the helipad stuff is just phenomenal. And it works so well when you just do a live podcast. You just say, okay, we're going to start. We hit record. You do the podcast. And it's not like the live stream, the No Agenda live stream. It's not like we're tight, like a radio station tight. Now we click in, I'm futzing around for 5 minutes. Sometimes I play songs. And it has this 24-hour stream has such a nice appeal. And then when there's no live, then it automatically falls back to a schedule. It pulls in a scheduled podcast. And, I've just been enjoying messing around with schedulers and kind of getting back into it. I mean, I've been doing that for, oh my, I mean, I've been doing radio stuff since I was 13, but I can go all the way back to, gosh, what were some of the early, I mean, the early Shoutcast and Icecast and scripting lineups and formats and doing stuff like that. And mm-hmm. now that we have music, you know, it's like you can do music stations value for value. Not all, but many of the podcasting 2.0 apps will let you stream value for value in real time or boost. I mean, it's such an open opportunity. But it's always a little scary, you know, for people to go to actually go live. Like Øystein Berge, that guy's flying without a net. I mean, he's flying without a wingsuit. He's flying. He's just flapping his arms. He comes on. He just goes, man. He just goes. It's fantastic. I love it.
I love that. I love that too.
You know, it's really a lot of fun. And that's because I've been doing Boostagram Ball again. It's every 14 days, but. You know, at least now it's kind of set Wednesday, every 14 days, 1 PM I go live and that's where the interaction, you know, it's one thing to do a music show, but when you have out of the corner of your eye, you've got the chat room scrolling by, it's just great. You know, you feel like you're doing so. Same with the boardroom, just feel like something is happening. The interaction is almost automatic. And then when you go back and listen to the podcast, it doesn't irritate me. That, oh, you know, there's the guys talking to people in the boardroom or the chat room or the troll room, you know, fill in whatever name you have for it. In fact, if mm-hmm. anything, it makes me want to be there, which is what has always been that's how I was taught with making shows. You want to make the audience feel like they should be there. I got to be there. I got to be there for that thing. Whether
like they don't want to miss it.
Yeah. Like you want to be there in person or you want, you know, or of course that's not possible, but at least, you know, with all these protocols we have, you can be there, by remote. There is something so big happening in this type of format. We just haven't really pulled it all together yet. And part of that is the hosting companies. Of course, we have Pod Home and RSS Blue, and I'm sure there's a few other. I'm sure Blueberry does it, but podcasting, you know, this really goes back to the early days when we had no gear. You had no gear, so it was very hard. Even, I mean, there must have been 8 years we were teaching people how to set up a mix minus to have, you know, someone on remote and, you know, and not have them hear themselves back through Skype or whatever we were using in the early days.
Yeah.
And so people kind of, since we didn't have live gear like the Rodecasters, which I think really is still the flagship because a lot of it comes out of the box. There's other ones now as well, but we were using gear for musicians. And it just really wasn't appropriate for a live type of program. Mm-hmm. And so we defaulted back to editing. And there's
after the fact post.
Post. And so we have an entire industry which now includes AI to chop out your errs and your ums and your, instead of honing your skills and getting better at what you're actually saying at the moment you're saying it. And we have an entire category of podcast producer. Oh, I'm a podcast editor, you know, mm-hmm. which is filled up. And of course, now a lot of them are sadly find themselves out of a job as the budgets are being cut everywhere.
Well, I've been listening to your live stream and to your test stream, mm-hmm. you know, for a few days now, and it's great. I love
Thank
it.
You. Thank you.
I love it. The like just the. The mix of various things that come on, it's amateur radio, but done by a professional. If that makes any sense,
it's like I know how to do it. I just can't quite get there yet.
And it's like you know how to do it, and you're tinkering with. Yeah. It's like you're tinkering with it to get it to be what the thing, your vision is. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's fun. It's fun to watch. Yeah. Like, I think that it's, yeah.
I'm learning a lot. And it's basically, I think I can't even get my wife to listen to it yet.
Oh, really? I think it's awesome. It's great. You. I love it.
No, she actually said this morning, now, how do I do that? How do I find this thing? So who knows, you know, I've learned, you know, if you push, people will never do it. And
right. Yeah,
by the way, they
got to do it on their own.
My family barely listens to any of my podcasts. You know, Tina listens to No Agenda. She never listens to this, of course. You're just nerds. You're just some nerd. I don't know. Did you do your
Guilty
nerd show?
Charged.
Did you do your nerd show? Yet her own podcast that we do, Curry and the Keeper, I'll show listen to that.
For a second time after doing it?
Oh, yeah. She's like, you never listen to the show. I said, I was there when I did it. What are you talking about? I know it was good.
I don't have time to listen to this show for a second time.
Well, sometimes right after the show, I'll take the dog for a walk. And I will listen to it while I'm on the walk. You know, I always am sampling stuff, you know, just to make sure the sound is good, the interaction is good, you know, that kind of stuff.
I've listened to this show maybe 6 or 7 times when I was like, I was worried that I didn't like that I was confusing or that I didn't, or I said something wrong. And I'm like, did I say that right? And I'll go back and listen to see,
right,
like,
right,
did I make a mistake? But like, otherwise, man, I don't have to.
Right. Don't have time. Well, and all props to Dreb Scott. I love the chapter work that he does on every single project I'm involved in. And he does it for many other people. I appreciate it straight so up. Much. Yep. Because I can go, hey, what were we talking about? And just go in, click, hit the chapter. And I'm always delighted when I see all the different images that he's chosen for stuff. Cause you know, there's a lot of Easter eggs and funny stuff in Dreb's chapters. And of course he gets a split of every project that I do for that. So he feels appreciated. He gets value for the value he's providing. And that part of the system works.
I just realized that I didn't put True Fans on this Android phone.
Oh.
And I need to test it to see if they've somehow gotten some kind of juice.
It wouldn't surprise me. If anyone's figured it out, it's the True Fans crew. Oh,
yeah.
True Fans crew. Sounds like Two Live Crew, doesn't it?
Two Live Crew.
True Fans crew. That's kind of good. But just before we started, I saw that... David from Hypercatcher, which of course
Hypergum.
Yeah, what have you seen this?
David came back in with a vengeance. He's doing some coding.
What exactly does this do? It says podcast mentions. Wait, set keyword alerts for your favorite podcasts and get notified when they are mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds to me like a way to like find topics mentioned in podcasts that you're interested in, like to get an alert.
Let me see. So get started. Okay.
For free.
Sign in with Google. Okay. Nope. I like the logo though, but I like his Hypergum logo.
I'll sign in with Google.
Too free. So I think what he's doing, okay, so it costs my AI-powered analytics. AI-powered analytics. Basic support. 5 projects limit. Access to basic AI tools.
Let's see.
So what does this do? So if you... brand alerts. There's a lot going on here.
I'm signing in with Google. I'm about to tell you what it does.
Okay.
Let's see.
I mean, look, I like the idea for sure.
Oh, check your what?
Oh, you got to check your email for a code.
Well, it's this. Now it's sending stuff to my Android phone. This is going to be a problem.
So to set keyword alerts phone. For your favorite podcast, get notified when they are mentioned. So how is he checking all podcasts for mentions? That's got to be quite the job.
I think he said he's not.
Okay.
I think he's doing it a different way. No. Okay. So I logged in. It says search credits remaining 2. And it says search groups. So I click search groups, search podcasts. Okay. Podcasting 2.0, maybe. Search. No, that didn't do anything.
Okay.
I don't know what this is.
I like
your search group name.
I like Hypergum. I like the idea. I like the logo. It's a piece of gum, basically, like a gummy. The Hypergum.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Here it is. So I searched Pod News. Mm-hmm. Pod News Weekly Review. So I'm going to put that. Oh, okay. So you Pod News Daily. No agenda. Let me search for that. So you can build a group of podcasts. which is what I'm doing. Enter a search group name, Dave's stuff. Enter a search term, Dave. All right. So I'll search for myself.
I think that's illegal in Alabama, isn't it?
What it says, you have insufficient search credits.
You got no
Please
credit.
Subscribe for more credits.
Give me credit, man. Just give me some credit. Give me some credit. Give me some credit, man.
I need a credit.
I need a credit, man. Please give me some credits.
But, I see what it does, but I don't have any credits.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll have David on soon. David Norman on. Well, he can explain what it is. Yeah. Bring him on the show. In the boardroom.
I'll put him in my book.
Yes. In your black book. So I've identified something that's presenting to be a problem.
No.
Yeah. You may have seen some of these emails go back and forth. So apparently there are some nefarious actors who are duplicating RSS feeds and then monetizing those by claiming those feeds, since their duplicate feed has their own email address in it, they're duplicating it through various ways in order to get value blocks into the database for feeds that are not theirs. And I've had three or maybe five instances of this happening.
And is it all coming from the same people?
No, it doesn't appear to be coming from the same people. It's not widespread, but it's like one of those things like, so, you know, what typically happens is, you know, you search for something, you see there's three different versions of a podcast. Right. And then there'll be an Acast feed. And that Acast feed will have a different email address in it. Mm-hmm. And then they claim that either through podcast or wallet, or I think probably the easiest way they're doing it is through Fountain, which is not, you know, Oscar and I have been in touch. Now, in some cases, people think that that's happened, but someone else on the team did it. You know, so there's some discrepancy there. But it is something we need to be on the lookout for. So, you know, feed dupes that have value blocks is a bit of an issue.
We could put some sort of alert in where there's like a title collision, a brand new feed with a title collision that has a value block, maybe.
There you go.
Throw
a flag on the play.
A yellow card.
So the thing that kind of bugged me is Vigilante TV appears to have done that.
Well, I thought they were legit.
Yes, like, what I thought too, but someone reached out to me and said, this is not legit.
Isn't that the Hive people? Aren't they a Hive group?
I don't know. Let me see if I can find the email for a second. Because I was very disappointed by that. Vigilante. Mm-hmm. Let me see. Vigilante. Here we go. This was, hello, I recently switched to a fully podcasting 2.0 compliant act. I noticed something. A couple of podcasts I listened to seem to have lightning addresses listed for donations, but never mentioned this or listed as a way to support the show. I was able to confirm that one of them so far never set this up and doesn't accept Bitcoin at all. Can you imagine, LOL? So apparently someone is squatting on their listing. And so I looked at this. Yeah, vigilante.tv had basically taken this feed and added, I mean, and they do interesting stuff because they add a whole bunch of 2.0 features.
Alex says that's a PeerTube instance that allows uploads of random videos too common on PeerTube. So this may be somebody that went in and created a rando using the Vigilante TV service PeerTube instance and created a channel of that name and is now uploading the content just to get a feed in there.
By the way, I should also have Anchor, not Acast. Anchor. It's typically Anchor.
I knew what you meant. Yeah.
Right.
So this may not be this is probably not the Vigilante TV people themselves. This is people abusing their service.
Okay. All right. Okay.
So we should probably, you know, I should probably, I just sent myself a note so I could remember to put in a couple of alerts in here.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I'll start watching for that because that's not cool.
No. Bastards.
By the way, Franco, respond to him. I forwarded him that that extortion letter that we got.
What did he say? Extortion letter?
Yeah, he says, it looks very scammy to me. On their website, they mention Assipod as their partner. It's the Italian Podcasting Association. The president, Giulio Guadino Guardiano, is a friend of mine and a good supporter of open podcasting. Let me check with him and report back to you.
Okay. Yeah.
So you think,
well, I mean, so this literally went to my spam folder and not much goes to my spam folder.
Yeah.
Let me see. It was, who were these Jamokes? What was their name again?
License Sync.
Yes.
Like all one word, like LIC.
Associazione Licensing. Then, dear podcast index team, we are writing to follow up on our previous communications. Protocol number 14/23 and 13/24, which is meaningless. And of course,
24. Oh my God.
Of course, I don't know what protocol they're talking about. Dated in 2023 in August 2024. Regarding the request for the subscription and settlement of the streaming and download license for the Italian CMO licensing administered podcast repertoire distributed via your platform, github.com/podcastindex.org. Like, okay.
Yeah, it's basically, and then they attach an invoice for $7,000.
Yeah.
To become compliant, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the fact that it went to my spam is probably because somebody marked it as such somewhere along the line.
It's like things like this is like, well, you know, this is obviously bull crap, but then you always have to wonder, okay, is it enough to just tell them to go away or do we have to actually get a lawyer to draft a threatening letter?
You know? Well, we have some.
Yeah.
We have some lawyers who'll be happy to draft a threatening letter.
Yeah, so I'm like, that's the only problem with stuff like this, is you're like, oh, yeah. Come on, you know.
Oh, well, it's what it is.
It is.
I have a note.
James has had to fight this battle.
He's before. Had several things like this happen to him, right?
Yeah. Yeah, one guy, I think, got pretty nasty before they finally quit.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, oh, you're using this or that.
Mm-hmm.
So I did get a note from Salty Crayon. I hate to do this to you, but we should probably just go through it succinctly.
What
percentages
is it?
Versus shares in block splits.
No, no.
You want to push it off again?
What? Like what?
I don't know. What is it? Percentages.
Can we just can somebody just look, find the old time that we talked about it, and we can just link like the chapter and episode number.
It's probably a good idea. I think Sir Denonymous is doing a Bingit.io for podcasting 2.0, which actually is not
Bingit. Oh, really?
It's ClipGenie.com. Yeah, I think so.
ClipGenie.com. Was this a product?
It's a product. Yes.
Okay. But is that what powers Bingit.io?
Yes. Yeah, thank you. Clip powered by ClipGenie. Exactly. So that would be easy. And what is Stephen B had what was that? Transcripts. He had a transcript search.
Well, there's steno.fm.
Is that steno.fm? Okay. Well, here you go. Podcasting 2.0. All right. A lot of broken images on that page. Okay, so splits. I'll just do search splits. Let's see what comes up.
Oh, Lord,
up.
That's going to come back with a billion results.
No, maybe.
Episode 149, Scrape My JSON.
Is that it?
No, I just thought that was a cool title.
Percentage. Let me see. No episode.
What would be a term that we would have used discussing that would be like rare?
Pain. Search for pain. No episodes found with pain. No. Value. How about fees? Maybe fees.
Respect the splits. Discuss this.
Splitting the tab.
Splitting the tab, maybe.
That
episode
might have
91.
Been.
That seems awfully long ago, but maybe it wasn't that long ago.
Let me see. Split.
Splitting the tab.
That's a steno.fm. It's pretty good. So it's searching for stuff. We'll find
Share.
It. We'll find it. We'll find it. We'll find it. And we'll put it out there for you, Salty Crayon.
Yeah, I mean, we spent like literally an hour
talking about it. Yeah, we did.
And we lost half the border.
They keeled
They've
over.
Never come back.
They died.
Yeah, they died. Yeah.
All right. What do you want to talk about, brother?
Let's see. I've got. Yeah, Daniel. I see you trying to bait me in. I'm not taking that bait. Stop it. Let's see.
Alex. Well, Alex has worst episode to date, to be honest. Well, could you just give us the episode number? If you remember, it was the worst one. What was the number?
Yeah, it stuck out in your head. It must be the word. You must know it by heart.
That's the one. That's the one we need.
Let's see. You want to talk about the L402 stuff that Russell?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm happy to see him working on that.
Yeah. So Russell's trying to build something around the idea of paywalling content, and he's settled on the 402 method, the L402,
which
method.
I suggested as the LSAT. I suggested look at LSAT, and this is something similar but different.
Same idea. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, with the LSAT, you challenge the API call with a 402 response. And for HTTP status 402
is authentication required.
It's a payment required.
Payment required. Okay.
Yeah. So you respond. So the idea is you make a call to an endpoint. So some HTTP endpoint. That endpoint responds with a status code of 402, and then you know that you have to make a payment in order to retrieve the data from that endpoint.
Ah, so they renamed it L402.org. Got it.
Yeah. Which makes a lot more sense than LSAT, to be honest. Alex says maybe episode 146. The idea there is pretty straightforward. You can conceptualize this as, you know, you would try to download an episode of a podcast or an audiobook or whatever this content is. You would try to download the enclosure. The CDN would respond with a 402 saying that you're going to have to pay for this to get it. Then you would make some sort of payment. Then request it again with the payment proof, and you get the content.
Didn't Alex Gates have something already worked out with this proof of payment stuff?
Yes, the JSON payment token JPT idea, and that would work perfectly fine in this workflow. The issue he's trying to do, the JPT, and the issue he's trying to do, Russell's trying to solve this for fiat as well. The JPT is, it would work for fiat, but it's not going to be supported by like Apple and mm-hmm. Google and mm-hmm. these fiat payment platforms. Mm-hmm. The issue here as described up until now, and this is a discussion 670 on the GitHub.
Yay.
Is if you I heard James and Sam talk about this on Pod News Weekly Review today, but they still missed the big problem, which is, again, if you pay in app for a digital purchase, you must use in app purchase. Or now, very recently, you are allowed to kick out to a third-party payment platform, and I'm talking specifically about Apple here. I don't know about Google. I've not heard of them allowing this. Mm-hmm. But with Apple, you're allowed to kick out to. You're allowed to have a link, which will take you to a third-party payment platform. Mm-hmm. But then you have to do your own bookkeeping. So you still owe Apple 30% of that digital purchase, but you now have to record it and track how much you owe. and then send them a check.
Yeah, that's a pretty big thing to miss.
Well, so the ideal solution, and then see, this is what, and that's the way that Russell is dealing with this, is he's saying, okay, I'll build a service that will allow doing this with a third party link out.
Mm-hmm.
I will build something that does the bookkeeping, and then there will be payments that are processed out to various parties at the end of the month.
Mm.
So this is a payment platform bookkeeping service that is centralized to Pod2, which it's not a problem. But as far as the name, you still
have to kick back the 30%.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, you've got to do that. So the ideal issue is if we really and truly want to do this, if we truly want to, and see, okay, this is not, and by the way, this is not how Spotify Open Access works. Spotify Open Access, which is what this is all being compared to, Spotify Open Access works through going and paying somewhere else for content,
right,
something like through Patreon, and then just making an OAuth connection back to that thing you paid for so that you can listen to it in Spotify. Spotify, the app, is still not allowed to do an in-app payment flow that does not go through iTunes.
Right, so you still need the OAuth from the app side.
Right, you're going to have to go to a website or some other party, pay for the content, then link it to Spotify through an OAuth handshake. But what everybody wants is not that.
I understand what we want, but the rules of the app road are just different.
They are. And so, you know, what everybody wants is an in-app payment flow where it's just kind of like bop, 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 and you're done. And that's so, but in order to, so in, the only way that I can imagine that that works is in a seamless way is if the RSS feed returns a 402, and a 402 can include a response body. Some HTTP statuses, the spec says that they're just a status code. They don't have a body. The 402 can have a body. So if we can return the body, a 402 body with in-app purchase specifics about how to do it. Okay, so here's this for Apple, this for Google, blah, 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 blah.
Mm, okay.
So you would have maybe return a JSON object that includes Apple Pay in-app information, Google Pay in-app information, and then Lightning and something else.
At that point, isn't it easier just to build in the Apple Pay and Google Pay SDK? I mean, you're going to pay for it anyway. You're going to pay the 30% anyway.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what you just read. That's what I'm saying. If you're having to do all this and still pay 30%, then it's better to just have it as an in-app purchase.
Yeah.
And forget all the bookkeeping and record keeping and all that stuff. So if we could return something that has every possible payment method in it, and then the apps can choose what they support.
Mm-hmm.
So if Cast-O-Matic tries to play an enclosure, download an enclosure, and it gets a 402 back, it can throw up a message to the user saying, you know, we only support Apple Pay because their restriction that they have to abide by on as being an app in the App Store. So we only, here's your, what do you, here you go, in-app purchase. So, and you would tap it, do your thing and go.
Okay.
That doesn't affect value for value at all because V for V is a separate flow.
Right.
You know, you can't. So what I'm, you know, that to me, that's the way forward here is the 402 needs to provide back the information needed in order to make payment.
Right.
And it could even make, you know, send back two payment, like a, here's a payment for the content, and then here's a payment for going to the app. So like there would be some percentage of payment going to the app. So the app could pay itself or something like that as a sort of kind of pseudo split. So anyway, that's
okay. Like,
do you see?
I'm with you. It seems like a lot of work for something that you could do in a different manner.
Well, it is. And that's the problem with the app stores.
So we need more lawyers.
Because if James is, James is saying, well, you could do all this with Stripe, but you can't. And this is what we talked about last week. This is not a tech problem. This is a politics problem.
Right.
And well, let me take that back. You can, but it's intention. Apple's policies are intentionally difficult so that nobody will do it.
Right.
You're now by law or not law, but by policy, you are technically allowed, but who's going to do all that?
Right.
And Russell's saying, well, I volunteer, I'll do it. But then it's centralized around Pod2. But, if we can make it just an in-app purchase,
then just then do an in-app purchase.
It just works. It just works.
Yeah. Okay. But
the problem is I just don't know how to do that.
No.
Like, I don't know what information is required to make an in-app purchase in that way. Somebody who's got a lot of Apple app experience would need to tell us.
I don't think we need to go much further then. We need to spend time on other things.
I don't mind. I love the idea. I love the idea of enabling this because you think about it. You could give back, if you're returning a payment, an object, if you're returning a JSON object with various options for payment, one of them could be Bolt 11 and you could make your payment and then enable content download.
Right. But you still need to keep your books and pay 30% to Apple.
I'm talking about things off platform. So I'm saying like if you always return all your options, then the app can choose the specifics that are best for it. So then it can say, okay, well, I'm an Apple app. I have to use Apple in-app purchase. I'm an Android app. I have to use Google in-app purchase.
Okay, I got you.
I'm CurioCaster. I can use Lightning.
Right, right, right.
So I'm going to choose Bolt 11. Or I'm Fountain's website. I'll use Bolt 11. Or I'm True Fans or whatever.
It becomes a lot easier when you're not an app.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. Nathan says Spotify's getting around this by never mentioning or linking how to pay for open access shows. Yes, that's exactly right.
People do that in the content itself.
Right, and they don't take a cut. That's part of the rules in the App Store policies. Up until recently, you were not allowed to even. Whoa.
boom boost. Thanks, Tim F. Received. What? He's got three boobs. It's a three boob boost. Oh, my.
Up until recently, you were not allowed to even say in the app that there was an alternative payment method.
Yeah. This is so lame.
Yep. But I want to do this. I want to make it happen, but we got to do it in a way that makes sense.
You need to do that on your own time, Dave, because I'm falling asleep.
Okay. move on.
Phase 8.
What you got? What you got, big man?
Hey, listen, big man. I got phase 8. I see that you got a plan. You got a plan for phase 8.
Sorta.
Do you want to hit the hot namespace for a minute here? Just do a little bit of a little bit of hot namespace.
Please hit it.
All right. Hello, Jennifer.
And now it's time for some hot namespace talk.
Yes. I'm awake now. Hot namespace. Hot.
You really dug out that yes.
Because it was real, man. Yeah. I like me some hot namespace talk on a Friday.
Dig it out.
Digging it out.
Yeah, so James' location tag changes.
Yeah, this is good. This is, I mean, he fought it for years and now he's relented. He's given in. He's given in to optional ways to use the tag.
He's melted into the void. Yes. So here's what I'm thinking for phase eight. I think these should be fairly straightforward. He said, James's location tag changes consist of the following. These are enhancements to the existing location tag change, location tag. Mm-hmm. He wants to add a rel attribute. So that's like short for relationship. A rel attribute to say, okay, this location is, what is it telling me? Is it telling me this thing is about a location or this is where the podcast is made?
Right. This was the big question.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. And then he's got another proposal where he's sort of pre-calculating the, what you might call the relevance of the location.
Mm-hmm.
So that you don't have to, so that it makes it easier for the apps to ingest it. So it's already got all this sort of like relevance data about, you know, these things are in this location or around this area. And then the last change is just allowing multiple locations per episode.
Okay.
So you could imagine if maybe an episode is about, you know, the Eiffel Tower and the, what's that real polluted river?
Which one?
The Seine? Yeah, the Seine. Yeah. Maybe it's about the Seine and the Eiffel Tower. So you put both of them in there. The stinky river and the Eiffel Tower.
I love that.
I did not know this. Did you know, and maybe I'm sure you probably did. I did not know this until recently that the Eiffel Tower was created for the World's Fair.
Yes, I did know that actually.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
It was like the 1889
or something. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that was cool.
Well, they had some cool stuff back at the World Fairs. I mean, they don't do those anymore, do they? The World Fairs?
No, but that, like, I read this. Do you know the book Devil in the White City?
No, I don't.
Just finished reading that about 3 weeks ago. Great book about the Chicago World's Fair of 1893. And man, those things were nuts.
Well, I remember in New York, which of course was featured in Men in Black. They had all those structures out there near the airport, which was also the site of one of those early World Fairs. Sir Bemrose says Seattle Space Needle was also built for one of the World Fairs. That was cool.
The Ferris wheel was created as part of the World's Fair. Yep.
And now all we have when it comes to stuff like that is House of the Future.
Yeah.
Home of the Future. I've been to those. It's such a scam. I know James went to one in, where was it? He was in one of his travels. He wrote a piece about it. And they're always a scam because they had one in the Netherlands, Home of the Future. And all it is just Philips and, you know, and Braun and all these other home goods companies who just put their concept models into this home. Oh, you're going to have this in the future. It's just an ad. It's an ad.
It's just all refrigerators that are going to order your milk for you and stuff like that.
One day, baby. One day.
One day.
It's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. All of a sudden, my refrigerator will know that I'm out of milk, will automatically order it, and the man will come in and put it right in my fridge, right where it belongs.
Pfeiffer, the Ferris wheel at Six Flags St. Louis is not the one from the World's Fair. That is fake news.
Fake news.
The one from the World's Fair was exploded with dynamite after the St. Louis World's Fair.
Awesome.
Why dynamite? I have no idea.
Why not?
But that's how you rolled in 1903.
Did somebody say boom?
They're like, what are we going to do with this thing? Let's blow it up.
Absolutely. So what else is in A? Is that it for eight? No.
No, there's also Nathan's follow tag.
Ah, yes. Explain the follow tag again.
Well, I've got a couple comments. So Nathan's follow tag is just a way to list out all the various places that a podcast can be found on these different platforms.
Yes.
And the, so originally it was, well, let me just read.
It's kind of an outgrowth of episodes.fm, or it comes from the same, same feeling, same vibe. Yeah.
Same, same, milieu.
Yes. Milieu.
Milieu. You got to get a little,
Milieu.
Matching feeds to their corresponding URLs in third-party podcast apps can be tricky. The follow tag would allow podcasters to verify their presence on various platforms by providing an array of URLs and linked in a linked JSON file. This is particularly useful for locating shows on platforms with no public lookup method, or identifying shows with common names like Real Talk in platforms that only provide a search API. And so this is, originally it was in XML. So it was, all this would have gone into the feed, you know. You
said you'd have I remember this. Yeah.
And then
now it's an external JSON.
Yeah, and that's what I think is the problem here. That, so I understand why he did it. He based it on feedback saying from hosting companies saying that, well, that's going to bloat the feed a lot, and we're sensitive to feed size because of bandwidth costs and that kind of thing.
We're sensitive to feed bloat.
Feed bloat.
I like this term, feed bloat.
And which is understandable, but there's a couple of things I just want to talk about around this. And I think Daniel J. Lewis was right. Because, I mean, what? He said,
what?
don't act surprised.
What?
he said, we've not talking about whether, you know, like bloating the feed with stuff. He said, we've not consistently followed that logic. For example, wallet switching is in the feed instead of the episode metadata JSON, where it logically belongs with chapters. Mm-hmm. I think he's right. So for instance, Podlove chapters are now in the feed or in the XML. So basically we originally kept chapters out of the XML because it would have bloated the XML.
No, that's not the reason why.
Why?
The reason why is for community-based chapters, so that you can have external chapter creation apps that can be done outside of publishing or republishing the feed.
Oh, I'm sorry. What? You're right. What is the... What's the other one that has a transcript?
Yes, transcript.
That one originally was in a separate file to keep it from bloating the XML.
But it's still in a separate file, no?
It is, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, like, so my example of Podlove chapters, that's originally hosting companies did not want to put that in their feed because it bloated the feed. We'd rather have it in a separate file. But now, because Spotify supports Podlove chapters, everybody starts putting Podlove chapters in the XML.
Yes.
And so I think Daniel's right that the logic is not, it's like, it's not being followed consistently. That's one thing. You know, we can't tell hosting companies what to do. I mean, their costs and their sensitivities, things like that, those belong to them, and they have to make those decisions. But it does seem to be inconsistent, and I never know when it's okay and when it's not.
Right.
But that leads to this other thing, which is
well, if I may,
yeah.
I would say that feed bloat is also important for podcast app developers who, in many cases, do parse a feed. And, you know, if you're choking on five feeds that are, you know, 20 megs because there's all kinds of stuff in it, I can see where that could possibly create problems.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure. And yeah, and Nathan says the difference. And this is what I was going to talk about, Nathan. You kind of have two separate feature concepts here. Some things are you can just think about this and say, okay, this is a feature that would be in every single feed, like title or description or image. Things that are going to be in every single feed, it doesn't really make sense to have that in a separate file. But for things that are just, that are never, that are going to be sort of selective enhancements to a feed, those do make more sense in a separate file. But, you know, like, and I understand that's a little bit backwards because you would think, well, things that are going to be in every single file, those are going to cause feed bloat. So you may not want to put it in there. But if they're going to be in every single file, then now you're going to generate two downloads. And so it doesn't really matter if it's in the feed or not. You're still paying the bandwidth.
Right, right.
So if it's a, if it's an item of almost universal desire, an item of universal desire.
Look at that girl. Look at that girl over there. She's an item of universal desire.
This is Hot Namespace Talk. So if it's like a universal want, where you can imagine, and that's what this is, like you can imagine that every platform is going to want to see this data because it tells them where all the, I mean, like PodPage, PodPage wants this.
Yeah.
They're going to grab that data from every feed that has it. They're going to want every link. Pod News, us, everybody's going to want this data. So you're, if you're a host and you're going to provide the follow information, you're going to be serving that data, whether it's in a separate file or whether it's in the feed, you're going to be sending it. So at that point, having it in a separate file is kind of makes it unnecessarily complicated.
Yes. Yes. I'm with you. Affirmative, Captain. Aye. Yes. I'm with you. So
that's, you know, that's fine. That's why it seems to make, I mean, ultimately if they, you know, it's whatever, I don't, you know, I'm not going to die on that hill. If the hosting company says no,
it's really not that huge. I mean, when it comes to the follow stuff, it's pretty limited in scope.
I don't think it would be much bigger than chapters, right?
Again, chapters, the reason for chapters is for external editing purposes.
No, I'm talking about Podlove chapters, the ones that are in the XML.
Not really. It's not like a transcript. It's not. I mean, look, you're right. I'm sure that the hosting companies look at everything because of bandwidth, but whether you're pulling it off their server as an external file or in the feed, I don't really see that as a difference in the bandwidth because you're still serving it. I'm looking at it more from the aggregation side. It's like it's just a little bit of extra data.
I mean, initially you're going to have probably not very much. Like if you left it out of the feed when you first implement it, if you leave it in a separate file, you are going to save bandwidth.
Yeah.
But over time, as people start realizing this data is there and start downloading it, then
stuff will happen with it.
You're just not going to say, I don't think you're going to see much savings.
No,
I don't know.
Well, I like that. This is a good tag. I like it, but I think it's a good tag.
Yeah. I will ask for
valid tag.
I'll ask for more feedback.
Valid tag.
I've declared this valid.
Let's take a breather.
Sure.
I have, this is a great track. This is from Texas Boy. In fact, he's right down the road in Austin, Texas. And I think we were trying to get him for the Boostagram Ball Live December 16th. I'm not sure if that's going to happen or not. And I played this one on Boostagram Ball. A new Boostagram Ball this Wednesday, 1 o'clock Central Time. This is Abel James. This is the Voodoo Queen on Podcasting 2.0. Remember to boost and let him know about it.
Bedroom with a Voodoo Queen. This cold sweat is clinging to my bones. She's like a tigress and I'm trembling. 'Cause I know she's sharpening her claws. Lord, I can't escape this tangle web she weaves. No, no. I used to laugh at magic, but now I do believe. You know my eyes are red, and my body wakes up bruised and blue. She can't be tamed, there's nothing I can do. When she's stirring up that witch's brew, Lord, I can't escape this tangled web she weaves. No, no. Well, I used to laugh at magic, but now I do believe. Now I do believe. Well, I share a bedroom with a voodoo queen. Cold sweat is clinging to my bones. She's like a tigress, and I'm trembling. 'Cause I know she's sharpening her claws. Lord, I can't escape this tangled web she weaves. No, no, no. Well, I used to laugh at magic. Now I do, said I used to laugh at magic. Now I do, said I used to laugh at magic. But now I do.
Boost!
Now I do believe. Now I do believe.
Queen podcasting 2.0, and just like any boardroom, when the band's on stage, everybody's mulling around talking to each other. Hey man, why don't we offload that to Podbean? We can do this, we can do that, we can do all this stuff. You guys are not even paying attention to the band. The band is feeling bad.
No, I was. It counts though that I was like jamming while I was typing.
Okay.
Right?
As long as you were playing air guitar, it's okay.
Yes, air drums. What is the? By the way, what is the etiquette? The texting etiquette around, like when you reply to somebody around, like ha versus ha ha versus ha ha ha. Like, if somebody says something funny and that you just say ha.
Oh, okay. Here's how I look at it.
Okay.
If I'm surprised because someone made a remark that was like, wow, oh, okay, you pointed something out to me. That's ha, capital H, and then a lowercase a exclamation mark. Ha! Ha!
Okay.
Now, instead of doing an LOL, if I'm really happy about something, then it's a ha 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 ha. And yes. I've added that to my dictionary, actually, so I can type in just a couple of ha's and then it automatically autocorrects. Ha 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 ha. Usually no exclamation mark.
This makes sense to me because sometimes I will send you something and you will come back with a 9-character string, ha ha ha, with an exclamation point. Yes. And it's super fast. And I'm like, I know you didn't have time to type that.
Especially not on my Cat S22, which is still my daily driving jam, baby. I love this phone. I love it.
I'm like, that thing has real buttons. You can't hammer that out real fast.
It's a great phone. It's a great phone.
Nobody uses Rafflecopter anymore, by the way.
Okay, boomer. No one uses that. No one uses that anymore. Thank you, Dreb Scott, for boosting Abel James. By the way, Suzanne Santo is onboarded, I think, into Value for Value.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
She's you good. You played her. I think you were the first one to play her. I think you played her on
Instagram. I've been working her for 2 years trying to get her.
Yeah, you've been working her.
Like, come on, girl. Come on. Get it together. Yeah. Open Mike is he's the one organizing this whole Antones thing. So, you know, I'm just the MC slash host.
Do you want to talk quickly about the nasty API bug that I fixed
yes,
that
you alerted me yes, to? Yes, that would be a good one because, I mean, yes, it was a nasty bug, a nasty bug.
So Adam alerted me that that he was getting a random episode from just a, he was getting an episode from a rando podcast.
Rando?
Yes. And I was like, he was like, okay, I've
added these podcasts. It wasn't even a good podcast. It was some wonky podcast. It was not the right.
No, it was dumb. It was dumb. And so he's like, well, I added these podcasts to my collection here and it all looks fine, except I keep getting this episode from a random podcast that I've never heard of before. And the podcast was Da Life of JB.
Yeah. Da Life of JB, exactly.
Yeah.
How does this even happen?
Yeah. LYFE of JAYB. okay. So I started looking, and the first thing that popped out to me was that the feed ID in podcast index for this feed was 25,000. 25,000.
Mm.
Now that's a suspiciously round number.
Yes, for a rando podcast. Oh, what are we drinking?
This is a Montane grapefruit peach sparkling water.
You're gonna die so early.
This is zero calories. There's no sugar in this.
Oh yeah. Natural flavors. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All natural.
Yeah, all natural flavors, which is code for chemical.
The no, it's Montane. So I'm like, okay, 25,000. That's pretty unlikely,
right?
So I start look at what the endpoint that I was using to get these episodes was the episodes by feed ID using the new parameter on the end of newest. So if you tack newest onto the end of that call, what you can do is you can give it an array of feed ID of podcast IDs. So let's say you could give it like 5 podcast IDs. And then you can also give it a max parameter. So I was like, I want no more than this many episodes returned. And then you can give it the newest unary operator, and that will just give you the max number that you specified, newest episodes from this array of podcast IDs. And so I start looking through this. I isolated it to, it was a problem on the index. So then I start digging through this endpoint. And what I figured out was, and everybody, this is going to make sense to everybody. So SQL, when you do SQL queries on, you use what's called bound parameters. So what you do is you would say something like this. You would say like select from episodes where ID equal question mark, max equal question or limit equal question mark. And so that was that. And so then you would go back later and you would do what's called binding the values to the statement. So later you would fill in those question marks with the values that you're actually going to use. And what it does, what this does is it prevents SQL injection attacks.
Mm.
Yeah, because bound parameters are not executable.
I hate
those. I know you do.
Yeah.
Bound parameters are not executed as SQL code. They're only allowed to be values. So this is a fundamentally This is a fundamental security thing that everyone has to do. You have to use bound parameters. Yes, exactly. No bobby tables. So it should be clear now probably to what's happening here. I got the order of the bound parameters wrong, so that the max parameter, which I was calculating as 25,000, was the first parameter in the list, and the feed ID array was all the rest of them.
Right.
So that's why it was giving 25,000. It was interpreting that as one of the feed IDs to return. And then it was just chopping off the last value from the array. So I was never getting Curry and the Keeper.
I see.
Because it thought that was the max parameter. And so, but I was getting
the life of JB.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So this had been a bug in the index for about a month.
Oh, only a month. Okay.
Yes, because that's a fairly new parameter anyway. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. Nasty bug.
As we've learned, my whole existence in life is to break things that Dave builds.
And you do that so well. I mean, like you.
It's amazing.
I don't know how you do it.
That's why there's two of us, brother.
It's one of your magical abilities.
It's my superpower. Before we thank some people, I did just want to ask you, since I kind of I tuned out from the thread a little bit, what is the problem with comic strip bloggers' podcast not updating? Can we help this man?
What is it? Did it happen again?
I don't know. It's always like, I mean, he's using some, what is he? I'm sure he's using some free host somewhere.
Well, he's using Red Circle, and they use
Podping?
Podping, yeah.
Because he's like, oh, it's like, I have 15 episodes on Red Circle, but only 12 in the index. You suck. That's, I mean, not literally saying that, but he always comes across that way.
He didn't put it through a ChatCSB to calm that down at all. But.
That's just my, I just hear him that way. So that could just be all on me. But it seems like, Comic Strip Blogger has a podcast where he records nature sounds. Is lightning and stuff and thunder.
He says, is it unreliability of ping pong that can only be resolved by Hattie's?
Yeah. So when I read that, I'm like, what? Can we help this man? Is there anything we can do?
I don't understand why that's happening. I really don't. I'm going to have to dig in.
Has he somehow been automatically deprioritized in the index parsing system?
Not that I know of. I mean,
well, it's something to look at. That's something wrong with the ping pong.
The ping pong. All of the feeds from Podping enabled hosts, they're all deprioritized and they don't poll.
Right.
We just wait for.
I think Red Circle is, if he uploads things too fast, or maybe they're not ping ponging enough. Seems like they don't send
a slurp.
A ping slurp.
Yeah, that's Brian of London's thing where you can look up a feed URL to see how many, like, when it's been pod pinged or ping ponged. When it's
been ping ponged. From now on, it's ping ponged. Yes. You ping pong on pod ping. Hello.
Oh, Eric PP just got the boost bot to ping it. So we'll make sure. Okay. There's crap flying around everywhere. I don't even know what's going on half the time. I didn't know you could even do that from boost bot.
Boost bot is this
nonsense.
It's amazing. It's amazing. All right. We got to wrap this up.
Okay. All right.
Thanking a few people who boosted in live. 12345 from Dreb Scott for Voodoo Queen. Great tune. Heard on Friday 11/1, episode 199 of Podcasting 2.0 podcast with Adam Curry and Dave Jones. Yes, we still don't have all podcast apps sending off that information, which would be great, so that someone knows that this was a boost for a certain song. 1776 Freedom Boost from Salty Crayon. Howdy, boardroom. I got nothing. Have a great weekend. In the pipe. And then we got
the pipe.
Three boob boosts from Tim F. We got 333 from Salty Crayon. He says, LOL, no worries. He'll look for it this weekend. So we've figured out that the fees discussion was in episode 120, splits versus fees, and that is in the show notes. So it's linked right there if you want to go listen to that. D's Laughs, 1,000 Sats, shout out to all the garbage supporters from Canada. political boost. 777 from Mike Newman. That was just a test boost for the boost bot, and I've hit the delimiter, so you're good to go, Dave.
We have no one-offs on the PayPals, but we do have some. I'll just go ahead and read the monthlies, then I'll read the boost. The monthlies are Cameron Rose. Thank you, Cameron. $25.
Nice.
Dreb Scott, $15. Thank you, Dreb.
Thank you.
Chris Bernardick, $5. Michael Kimmerer, $5.33. Pedro Goncalves, $5. Kevin Bay, $5. And Chad Farrow, $20.22. Thank you, guys.
Row of ducks. And thank you. Those sustaining monthly donations, those are really important. Those are great. You know, it adds up. It adds up. It really does. Yes. Thank you so much.
Franco just emailed me back a more extensive thing.
Oh, okay.
I'll forward this to you.
We're going to jail. All right. Italian yes. jail. Italian jail.
See you guys later. Let's see. Let me sort my thing here. Boob boost from Kyron. 8,008 from Fountain. He says, I'm back, baby.
Nice.
Surprisingly normal sized Brazilian booties and pretty New Zealand landscapes had me distracted for a while. Is the secret project on? Okay, let's see. Is the secret project an app dedicated to your favorite person ever, Rachel Maddow? Thank you, everyone.
Close. Even more favorite than Rachel Maddow.
Which is hard to do.
Yes.
Thank you, everyone, for all your hard work. Thank you, Kyron.
Thank you, Kyron. Good to hear from you, brother. Glad you're okay.
Missed you. Yeah.
Glad you you extracted yourself from Brazilian booty.
Kyron is a fun guy to hang out with. He's got some great stories.
I'll bet.
Chad F. 3333 through Podverse. He says, re-listening to see what I missed since I had a heart attack during this episode.
What?
Who? Chad F. Are you for real? Is that for real? Or are you just kidding? You're gonna have to clarify that.
Yeah. All right, Chad F.
You got me freaked out.
Don't make jokes about this, man. Chad F is typing. I can see that in my
can see when he's typing?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, the million sat boost. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was interesting. So he did send a million sats by accident. He fat fingered it, but his Albi hub restricted that to 50,000. So I still got the TLV record in my helipad, which said, here's, you know, because I get 1% split so I can get the live boosts. So it still came through as a million, but the payments basically didn't go out because of the restriction on Albi hub, which is a good thing. And protect you, saved your butt.
He got saved by helping
you. He did, he got saved. I would have refunded you, brother, no worries, but I'm glad you got saved.
Yeah. Comic strip blogger, the delimiter, 22,000 sats. Speak of the devil. Fountain, he says, howdy, Adam and Dave. Today, I invite your audience to the podcast gauntlet. Hosts, Mike Wilkerson and Brian Insminger. Throw down, discuss, rise and shine in podcasting. Join Mike and Brian as they uncover the art and science of successful podcasting with real-world tips, tech insights, and cultural deep dives. Perfect for aspiring and seasoned podcasters eager to create captivating content and grow their shows. Tune in and step up your podcasting game. Yo, CSB.
What is the name of his podcast again? I want to promote CSB's podcast. Let me see.
Honestly kind of generic, and I forget.
Oh, hold on. We should be able to find that. Let's see, CSB.
He did.
Let me see.
I think it's kind of a generic name, like Great Stuff or something like that.
Great Stuff.
Or what? It's like something like that, you know.
He doesn't have it.
Real talk. Real talk with CSB.
That's funny. He doesn't have it in his profile or anything. What is the name of that show?
I don't know it. I've pinged it so many times.
What is the name of that show? Comics or Blogger? Okay.
CSB Field is the name of it.
CSB Field. Well, hold on a second. Let's go check it out. CSB Field? Because it's Field Recordings. Let's see what he has here. CSB Field Recordings. Let's listen to the most recent episode.
Field Recording Podcast by CSB.
Rain drapes the Iberian plains anew. Silver drops adorn the morning dew. It's ChatGPT. Palm trees sway beneath the gentle rain. Nature's song unfolds across the terrain. Oh, I got to pee real bad now.
This is killing me.
It's an interesting idea for a podcast. And now here's Winds of Iberia. Oh, cool. And
of Iberia.
Now here is his neighbor's drill.
Boost! There's one of a garbage truck.
Oh, this isn't a garbage truck. You can hear him moving the mic too. That's great. It's great. That's what podcasting's all about, baby. I'm telling you, that's fantastic. I love it. I love it.
I don't understand why it's not updating though. We'll figure it out.
Well, he has high priority now on the bug list. We'll ping pong the pod ping and figure it out, brother. We'll take care of you.
Somebody just ping pong him in the boost bot at least like 3 times a day. Somebody be on call.
All right, brother Dave. We'll be back next week.
No, we will not.
Oh, we're not.
I am going to be gone Friday.
Can I ask what you're doing?
I will be in the forest. Me and my son are going backpacking.
Oh, Friday how nice. Well, can you record some sounds as a special episode for CSB?
I will. I'll send it to him as a field recording.
Excellent.
It's going to be the new, like, it's in the Sipsey Wilderness, which is in North Alabama. It's like tons of audio potential. So I will send many field recordings.
Okay. Thank you very much, Boardroom. Thank you for being here. ITBR in the Boardroom. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode of Podcasting 2.0. Have a great weekend, Dave.
All right, see you, man.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting! We like pork in the morning.